It's high noon in the county. Pony up to the table, because it's time to hear the latest on another edition of the County Grapevine. On 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Hello and welcome to the County Grapevine. My name is Pat Larkin and it is Thursday, April 27th. And we, as always, have another Super Grapevine show for you today, which can only mean one thing. Ah, yes, I am joined, of course, in studio by none other than the fantabulous Krista Hepburn.
Hello.
Now, there you go. You see, we've been working on the intro for a little bit.
Yes.
Not bad, eh?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
All right.
It's beautiful outside, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and Pat's dusting the studio.
Well, spring cleaning. It's
spring cleaning time.
Spring cleaning, so, you know,
yes.
It's one of those multifaceted, multi-whatever approaches, and I just figured I'd get some done while I'm here. There we are. Spring cleaning taken care of.
Dusting was a woman's job. It's not.
Not at all.
Clearly.
Equality, darn it.
Yes.
Equality.
Yes.
I am all over that.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been?
Good. But I must say, I have a new appreciation for people with backaches because I have one for the first time in my life.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
it's not fun.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
No, I used to have back problems myself. I tree planted for a number of years, and that does wonders to the hips.
Oh, I imagine.
And I won't tell you how I solved it.
On air.
No.
All right, look forward to that.
Yeah, okay, let's keep things rolling here. As always, we've got a full hour of entertaining information for you coming up later on the show, and very excited about this. Chris is speaking with Hillary Fennell from the Recreational Outreach Center, or The Rock, about their upcoming fundraiser, and Krista and I have selected some wonderful events coming up this weekend. Really, really looking forward to telling you about those.
Yes, but first on County Groves, Pearl Huckle chats with Jeff Webb about viticulture in Prince Edward County.
Welcome to County Dirt, the monthly segment of County Groves where you get the real dirt on grape growing in the county. I'm Pearl Huckle, and I'm here with the owner of Black Prince Winery, Jeff Webb. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pearl. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Welcome to the Grapevine and County Dirt. You were among the first wave of wineries in the county. What inspired you and your collaborators to choose this area and to choose the kind of services you provided?
Well, it goes back to the early 80s because I used to summer out here for years and years and years and windsurf and do all the stuff on sandbanks and camping and all the rest of it when I was... And that was at Queen's University, so it was an easy tour down the road to get to the county. And I was sort of paying attention to things as the early growers, who most of them aren't around anymore, were planting vineyards and trying to figure out if this was really a viticultural area that could be sustainable and could one day become a wine area. So when I had the opportunity to come back to the county, as it were, I had some partners who had made investments in California in the early 80s, and they were selling their vineyards down there, and they were bringing their money back to Canada, and they wanted to do a project here in Canada, and they approached me and said, well, you know, where would you suggest we do it? The first thing that came out of my mouth was not Niagara. And so they said, well, if it's not Niagara, because they were sure I was going to say it was going to be Niagara. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I've been sort of paying attention to this group of crazies who have been planting grapes and trying to get vines growing in Prince Edward County. And they said, well, okay, that's different. You know, so what makes you think Prince Edward County is going to be a good place to, you know, to grow grapes? And I said, well, I mean, other than the soil, and we know the limestone soil base is really good here, and there's been farmers here for hundreds of years growing all sorts of things in Prince Edward County, from hops to fruits to vegetables, and its proximity to Lake Ontario and to Toronto and to Ottawa and to Montreal. I said, this could be a natural for a wine region. So that's kind of where it started for me. So they said, well, okay, where would you put it in Prince Edward County? And I said, I have absolutely no idea. I was aware of Ed Neuser and his plantings down in Wapoose, and of Grant Howes and County Cider and what they were doing, and a couple of others, old-timers, who were down more towards the Wapoose and South Bay area. And I figured, well, maybe what we should do is dig some holes. So we started digging holes in 2000, and we dug holes, and we dug holes, and we dug holes. And we dug holes all over the place to get an idea of the different soil profiles in different, including Hillier, Allowell, South Bay, Milford, down out towards Glenora. We're trying to get sort of cross-reference of where some of the best farmland might be that could support grape growing. And we did that for the first year, started looking for property based on what the soil samples told us. And this farm, just outside of Picton, had come up for sale. And the ridge here, on we call it the Picton Ridge, is some of the most fertile and longest growing for farmers. I mean, you've got Hagerman's that have been here for 100 years, the Van Gruthies, and it goes on and on, right? And so we knew it was fertile. We dug a lot of holes up around here, and we thought, well, that's good sandy loam, and that will support the agricultural part of the grape growing really well.
So you have sandy loam here?
Pontypool sandy loam. Very deep, very good for drought conditions like we had last summer, and have had many summers in the county. The vines will dig down, and they will keep going until they find water. And Pontypool sandy loam drains very well in the spring, but it'll keep water for the vines to find in the summer.
How deep is the sandy loam here?
35 to 40 feet down the vines are right now.
So they
can keep going. I mean, it's the ridge we have here in the back. It's a south-facing slope, and the 10 acres that we planted. And that's not to say that all the vines that we planted survived. I mean, this was still really early days, and we planted a number of different varieties to kind of figure out what might stick and what might not. And, you know, we found now over the years that we've transplanted a couple of times. We had some success with Chardonnay and Cabernet Franc, and we had very little success with Pinot Noir here on this property, and Riesling as well was a challenge. And so we replanted with some Merlot and Pinot Gris, and we've had a couple of hybrids along the way as well, just to pay attention to what those might be able to do here in Prince Edward County. So, I mean, when this farm came up, we were very fortunate to find a location and very close to town. So the winery was centrally located. We thought well located to become a winery. Mm-hmm. We chose not to, like, park ourselves out in the middle of what might be termed nowhere to a lot of people. We want it to be easily accessible. So having frontage on the Loyalist Parkway and on Talbot Street, it made sense. Mm-hmm. And I think over the years, the centralness of this location has made it easy, or in the early days particularly, for a number of other growers who were aspiring wineries who wanted to use equipment and use some of the things that we have. We were an easy location to get to.
Yeah, now that's the other aspect. Your operation here not only produces wine, but it also shares services with other grape growers, which is almost a continuation of the tradition in the county of sharing equipment. The farmers used to share combines there. They would go from field to field. It'd be running almost 24 hours a day, and you've done that as well. Why? And what do you share, and why did you do that?
Well, I think mostly it was to start by sharing information. This was such a young area. There were only three or four of us at the time who were seriously becoming wineries. There were still a number of people who planted vineyards but weren't really sure where they were going with them yet. And so we thought, well, we knew the cost of a lot of equipment and a lot of tankage and machinery was very expensive, and it would probably prohibit a number of the smaller growers from maybe ever becoming wineries. So we had access to this equipment, some of it from California, some of it was built actually right here in Prince Edward County, some of it was brought in from other places like Niagara and Lake Erie North Shore, but we set up a spot here in Prince Edward County in Picton that could be accessible for other small growers to access. And at the time, it wasn't just a, you know, very benign. We had a reason for doing that. And that was also that the way the structure of the Grape Growers Association of Ontario was structured, the marketing board, we were required to produce at least 90% of the grapes from Prince Edward County grapes. And it was on a sliding scale. And then it, as the years went by, it went to 80% and then 70% and 60%. So by having the grape growers who were local growers basically growing their grapes and, in effect, their wines here, that helped fulfill the quota at Black Prince Winery for us to be able to become a winery in a more expedient fashion.
That's wonderful. Now, is there a particular equipment you offer to others that...
We still do. We worked, and it's funny because I was going back through my memory today before this interview about just how many people and vineyards and wineries we worked with, certainly in the earlier years. Mm-hmm. There's been less so in the last 7 or 8 years, but we still do provide one or two pieces of equipment that are very useful to winemakers, particularly.
And they are?
And it's a reverse osmosis equipment and VA removal system, which can take wines to a different level. And everything from concentration of the grape juice here, the Brix levels might be too low, so we can up the Brix levels to make better wines for winemakers. If they run into a problem with VA, volatile acidity, or other acids that they find are too high for their wines and are making them less drinkable than they might like, we can adjust that. We can do alcohol adjustment. It's a piece of equipment with a kind of a remarkable set of add-ons that can do a number of different things. It's also been shared. We've sent it out to British Columbia when they had all the forest fires out there. It helped remove smoke taint because when the forest fires were ravaging through the Okanagan, there was a number of vineyards that their grapes were affected. The grapes were tasted smoky. They couldn't make good wine. We were able to remove all the smoke taint out of the grapes. So there's a number of things that can be done with equipment and technology. We were, I think, well positioned to, we understood the technology. We had good winemaking in our background. We had good mentors from California in the early days, and then even in Niagara and some out of Lake Erie North Shore that knew about this stuff. And so our equipment has actually been in just about every province in Canada that has winemaking, and a number of states in the United States since then. Well, I believe that we're still the only winery in Canada that owns this particular piece of equipment.
I find it very gratifying that a winery at this point is carrying on the tradition of the county of sharing and helping neighbors very comfortably. And I think that's a wonderful testimony to your community-minded nature. In addition to the equipment, did you serve as, like, how was the information in the early days? Was it shared amongst winemakers? Or?
Oh, very definitely. And in the very early days, it was mostly sharing the grape growing and viticulture, and certainly OMAFRA played a big role in as a resource for us in the early days, and the growers that we, you know, there were six or seven of us at one time, and we were all sitting around talking about, well, maybe one day there'll be 12 or 14 wineries in Prince Edward County. Well, you know, now there's over 40, and it never ceases to amaze me when I take a drive somewhere and there's another vineyard. And and is that, you know, going to become a winery one day? But funnily enough, there were a number of the early, the pioneer growers that never did become a winery. Mm-hmm. Either they sold their grapes or they abandoned their vineyard. But there were a number that came and worked with us and then went on to become wineries in their own right, certainly. And I think it was sort of an interesting time to see all of us grow up together. And people brought different things to the table, you know, different. We certainly brought some technology and winemaking experience, which I think was useful to the collective. Uh-huh. Other people brought grape growing techniques and who had already been growing grapes here for a number of years even before us. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly helpful to our experience with the agricultural mm-hmm. part of the endeavor. But no, it's been very gratifying to see the humble beginnings of a couple of crazy, few crazy folks now turn into such a going concern.
The wonderful thing about when you begin growing grapes and when you set up a grape growing community, it lasts for hundreds of years usually. It's not something that dies very quickly because it takes such a long time to develop. So you really did become part of the fabric of the county and the history.
Well, I hope I live long enough to see... to see it become a profitable endeavor as well, Pearl. I mean, there, you know, it's a very capital-intensive business, as you, I'm sure, know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the hotel business. I'm thinking maybe my sons and daughters might one day take over, and they'll run it, and maybe their children one day will actually make a profit at doing it. So, but in the meantime, it's a terrific lifestyle. It was certainly for me. a great way to bring up my children in a community which I admired greatly, which I've been a visitor to many years, from a teenager to an adult. So being able to get my family into the community and have an interesting and sustainable lifestyle and back to the farm and back to growing and all those things, it's just been such a privilege for me.
I have to tell you, throughout this series, I've been hearing that from winemakers over and over again, great growers that say, coming back and being able to bring my family with me and have them live in our community. Now, was there ever a time over those early years or the many years you've been here, was there ever a time that you ever wished maybe you hadn't gotten into this or that you regretted it or you wished you'd done something differently?
Well, it's funny. I'd been in the wine business for 15 years before I got here in a different capacity. I had never done the agricultural part of it. So the eye-opener for me was the farming and the viticulture. I'd been in the business of making wine and distributing wine and marketing wine and all of that for a number of years. So for me, there were days and nights where I wished I certainly had more help and advice on the grape growing side of it, and maybe more hands on deck. But the challenges of it were also kind of interesting. And being on the ragged edge of grape growing as a region, I mean, Prince Edward County, God bless those folks in Quebec. They have it even harder than we do, but they're not able to grow the same type of vinifera that we are. So the challenges of farming and being able to bring a vine to fruition and come to a crop level that is sustainable and that can make wine year over year was a challenge. And I think we met it. We have yet to exceed it. We're still trying to figure out how to get more yield, let's say. I think Prince Edward County is always going to grow phenomenally good quality grapes, whether we're ever going to get to the kind of tonnage that, in fact, we know we won't get to the kind of tonnage that they can expect in other regions. So we have to sort of cut our cloth to what is possible. And I think that in itself has been a challenge for most grape growers who then went on to become winemakers, is how to come up with a pricing formula that makes you go, don't go broke, or go broke in a lot slower fashion than you might.
Yeah.
And so, and that then gets into the winemaking side of it as well.
Is there any bit of advice you would offer to someone who might be considering starting a winery or a grape, starting a small vineyard? What advice would you give people?
I would suggest to them that they become friendly with people who have been through the ringer before and who have the history. And certainly in the early days, our cooperative collective, the Round Table, the Prince Edward County Wine Growers Association, was a really great library of information. And some of the older pioneers, let's call them, have a lot to offer. So for somebody who is getting into it now, the first thing I'd say is make sure you have a good, well-stocked bank account, the thick skin, and make friends. It's a funny business. The wine business, there's a lot of lone wolf type of people who are very sure about maintaining their lone wolf status. And I think the most important thing you can have in this business is friends.
Well, I think, Jeff, you've made many, many friends within the grape growing community and within the wider community, all the services you provide and the lovely support to the various community events. I'd love to thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you
for sharing your time and your experience. And
my privilege.
It's great benefit to our community that you're here. And thank you for all that you do.
Okay. Thank you.
So much, Pearl and Jeff. Stay with the grapevine. After the break, Hillary Fennell from The Rock tells us about Rock and Review. And Pat and I will tell you what's happening around the county this weekend.